Praise the Lord, live stream listeners. We're back for our Bible class tonight. Come on, put your hands together to the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Hallelujah. Thank you. I really want to thank everyone for becoming a part of this service. So much is reaped in the body as a whole when you just open up and talk about things going on in you. It's such a tremendous blessing. I want to encourage you to continue to do that, because the body has many members. Amen. The body has many members, and really we are so connected. I don't think we really understand how much we are connected, and the enemy has sown the seed of discord. The enemy sowed seeds of discord, for whatever the reason, to make us feel so separated when the body of Christ is one, the church. So the beauty of it in coming together and giving God the glory. So with our live stream listeners and those who are present, questions from what we were talking about? Yes.
So I want to know what is the difference of the enemy talking to me versus myself talking to myself, talking to me, or are we the same?
What is the difference? It's me talking to myself and the enemy, or are we the same?
When I hear me talking to me versus the enemy talking to me, or are we the same?
Mm-hmm. You are one. Whomsoever you join yourself to, you are one. It's what we don't want to acknowledge. Now, what is the Lord going to do? The work of the Lord is to exercise your conscience unto the uncleanness in your spirit can be purged out of your spirit. You remember when I told you that the Lord said your spirit is not clean? Remember? Well, if my spirit isn't clean, who's there? Who? Oh, you don't want to say it. The devil, okay? I did it on purpose last night. I said, who's talking? I said, who's talking? Because we talk and do not have the understanding that that's your spirit talking. You were supposed to walk away last night knowing that every time you articulate or breathe, anything breath is involved in, is your spirit talking. Now, is your spirit clean or is it mingled? Because if you can be given to any work of the flesh, your spirit is not clean. So we're cleansed. Our spirit has to be cleansed. Now, the key to the cleansing of our spirit is by blood. But the blood purges your conscience, Hebrews, right? So any member in your house that your purged conscience rests upon has to be clean. Because the Holy Ghost cannot place her feet on anything that is the dove. Now, He has given us a pure conscience. But what conscience is also present with me? The evil one. So if I can think good and I can think evil, I want to say the good is God, and I want to say the evil is devil. That's not true. God cannot think evil and good. My thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace. God cannot think evil. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Whoa. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was looking at you, who would he see?
Himself.
Tell me more. If God was looking at you, who would he see? If God was looking at you, who would he see?
Himself.
Tell me more.
Because he's in me and I'm in him.
Tell me more.
Let's clap that for you.
Your fear drew me to you. That's what made me come. Okay. If God looks at you, what would he see?
We created.
Tell me more. We need a mic. She wants to talk to me.
I believe he would see who he created. You said tell you more. Because he doesn't see us the way we see ourselves. He doesn't look at us. He's not a man. Like, he doesn't see us the way.
Keep talking, because I'm going to pull over a chair.
Okay. I see myself based upon the human me.
Okay.
I see other people that way as well. But God does not look at us that way because he's not a man.
Okay, keep going. It's so much in what you're saying.
Okay. I guess it goes back to what you just said. He can't think evil. And in seeing human, like you, we see good and evil. I see good and bad in myself, but God wouldn't see that.
Okay.
Because there's no evil in him.
Exactly. Which one are you going to believe?
The right answer is to believe. The right answer is to believe what God sees, but me personally, I'm not honest, being honest. I probably wouldn't believe that right off. Because of the human side of me, the flesh, me being so attached to it, like, that's what I see. Sometimes it's hard to see past it, to see who God actually created.
Do I have a faith problem there?
I do.
Right there?
Yes, sir.
And I just need to hear. Nothing else. You mean hearing can get me past that?
Yes, because faith.
Are you sure hearing can get you past that?
Yes, because that's how faith comes.
Have you heard?
I guess not in that area. I don't know if you can break up hearing. Either you can hear or you can't.
Whenever I get a hold and the Lord shows me a vision, I talk to you for one purpose on it, just to see where you are concerning the question, because all the questions are generated from the vision I beheld. So the question is fresh. The enlightenment is spontaneous. So when I talk to you, I ask you questions about the vision I just saw, to see how you see things. Then I know how much my answer is going to empower you. I'll do that all the time. Even if I don't say it anymore, I always do it. If the Lord looked at you, who would he see?
Himself.
More.
It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves.
Who is he?
God. He made us, so we're made in his image and likeness. All of that's written, anyway.
Let's step to the back a little bit. Don't y'all go nowhere. Stinkler. If the Lord looked at you, Jay.
I knew you were.
If the Lord looked at you, who would he see?
He would see.
I need a mic. Thank you so much. Is it on? Let's get it on. All right. We empower. Come on. Talk to us.
He would see his creation.
Tell me more.
The creation before Adam and Eve betrayed him.
Keep going.
He would see his daughter who struggles believing that.
Keep going. This is getting good.
He would see his daughter who comes to New Jerusalem to know who she is and to see what he sees.
Okay. But this is getting good. Let me continue. If the Lord looked at you, who would he see?
To be honest, I like the other two answers as well. It's his son who's struggling with faith. You know, he sees me, and I was thinking to see good, as Sister Nicole said, even though I don't always see it. And still believing in what the flesh is telling me about myself and not what the Father is telling me.
And which one you lean to the most?
Probably myself. Probably. Yeah.
And it's God.
I struggle.
And it's God that's talking.
No, that's my flesh.
Okay. What do you say about all this? If God looks at you, who would he see?
He would see me as his own. And I know that he would see, like, what's inside of me, what worketh in me, like, whatever spirit I move in, be it of God or not of God.
Okay. All of you all are giving me nice pieces on the plate. I'm going. You want me to get that side over there? Okay. All right.
Come back to her, though.
They sent me on this side over here.
Oh, God. Set up.
If God looked at you, who would he see?
So if it's in Christ that we live, move, and have our being, then he would see Christ because we are one with him.
Say that again.
Because we
don't know. Slow down a little bit. Say it again. I want to make sure I heard you. Good. Say what you said again. Yeah, hold the mic a little closer. Yeah, there you go.
Because we live, move, and have our being in Christ, he would see Christ. Because we're one with him. We are a spiritual being. He will see a living soul. So even when he walked with Alan and Cooper.
Who did you say he was going to see?
Christ.
When he look at you, he gonna see who?
Christ. That's according to the faith. Because we can look God. He did God. So that's what this faith thing. That's what you've been trying to teach us all the time. Look past our faith. See who we truly are. See, with faith, if we could see who we truly are, we wouldn't be keep looking at this vessel. But for some reason or another, that idea that tends to get us. And when the devil lays on our senses,
mm-hmm.
then fear and doubt causes us to move out of love. So then we see that old wretched man that we truly are. Then we don't want to see who we really are. Mm-hmm. That is in Christ.
And he looks at you and see who?
Christ. He see himself. Like someone said, he see himself. Outside of that, he know I'm right. He knew the day I was born, but he predestined me to be something else.
Okay.
Thank you.
I really love your answer. When he looks at you, who do he see? Can you pass the mic? That's what he saw. He saw you passing the mic. He didn't see you passing the mic. Who you gonna give it to? When he looks at you, Minister Joseph, what do you see?
When he looks at me, he sees himself.
Explain.
That's all he's looking for. The reflection of himself in me. So even if something in me is not like him, he's not looking for that. He's looking for himself.
Okay. Pass it right behind you back there. When he looks at you, who does he see? Tell me who he sees
who
when
he
looks
sees,
at you.
So the way my answer was going was, He sees all the part that you try to conceal, the part you try to make pretty and presentable, the part that is good, the part that makes you sad, like you're vulnerable to him. There's nothing that you can you can't deceive him. So like he sees it all. So I don't know like who, but he sees the essence of who you really are, not who you portray yourself to be or what's presentable or what's acceptable or what's appropriate. He sees it all.
Mm.
So.
Wow. This is good. Let's keep moving on. Nick, when he looks at you, what do you see? Tell me what you see. Sir,
honestly, don't know.
You don't know what he sees.
All the other answers. I mean,
all the above.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I hear all the other answers, but I'm honestly not sure. Like, I feel like there's a lot of different answers, so I could see how all of them could. Like, I could see the points that everyone else was making, but honestly, I don't know.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Oh. When he looks at you, what does he see?
I'm his child.
You his child.
I am his
Tell
child.
Me more.
Oh, well, I am his child. I'm his child. I'm his chosen vessel. I'm that one who was born again. No more I, but Christ that liveth in me.
Potasia. You know, my memory serves me well. Yeah, my memory serves me so well. You know that? You told me to come back. When he looks at you, what do he see?
I was genuinely going to say I don't know either, just because I felt like if I knew, there were a lot of things I would question.
You handed it to me, but I don't seem to be taking it. Now, the vision. You ready for the vision? I do things like that. Do you feel bad that I do that to you? Put your hands together and thank you. I'm glad you don't. Oh, who wants this? Thank you. Okay, the vision. And all of you said pieces. Okay, you said things that were right. But the enemy will still get you. In all your answers, there was knowledge that wasn't perfect. That's why the enemy can keep messing with you. He can always mess with anyone whose knowledge is not perfect and excellent. Right? So I'm here and all of a sudden I see this vision and I see nothing but Jesus. I see Jesus in a way I've never exalted him in my whole life since I've had the Holy Ghost. That's what I saw. And I saw him. And I saw you in him. And that's what took me. And I said, I've never exalted Jesus like that. Not to that magnitude. And then I start asking you to see how your answers are. Is faith personal?
No.
Whose faith is it?
Jesus.
Whose faith is it going to always be?
Jesus.
You try to take it from him? Do you try to take his faith from him? Or you believe what he did and become a partaker of his faith? Are you partakers of the faith or you want to take it from him?
Partakers.
You hear the language? I'm not making up words. There's a sharpness that the Holy Ghost wants to teach you how to handle the scriptures. There's a sharpness that comes and the enemy won't be able to do that to you no more. This is how Paul said it. No more I. That's what evangelists said. No more I. So when God looks at Paul and he's not there, then who does he see?
Himself.
Jesus. He sees Jesus. And where is Jesus supposed to be? Where is he supposed to be? In you. Dude, can you hear the grace that you are to the place it ain't you no more? Can you? I see the man, Jesus. I see him. And all of you are in him. And when God looks, he sees him. The propitiation for all of our sins. Is that right? The atonement for all of our sin. Is that right? Is it that God sees him? Now I'll answer a question I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. The reason God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not evil, because who does God see when he look at you?
Jesus.
He's never going to deny the work that Jesus did. Never. John got bold in the epistles and said, little children, now, if you sin, you got to what? He's saying God is not going to deny the work that Jesus did, because where sin abound, grace did what? Why do you still condemn yourself?
Yes.
Why do you still condemn yourself? It's because you struggle believing. If you don't believe, you are automatically going to condemn yourself. Now, I heard my brother say, we the little God and he's the big one. I didn't bother him. I left him alone. But what happened to let? What happened to let this mind be in you? There was also in Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is who died. Christ Jesus is who rose. Stop! Yeah. Ho, ho, ho! Hey, hey, hey! Oh, that was my exaltation. God, he declared he was coming when I said that. He said, I'm coming. Made me shout when he said it. He can't do that to you and you back down. He do that in you. You stand. I'm still feeling the vibration. Do you know we're not supposed to know Jesus after the flesh anymore? What does that really mean? That you have received the atonement for your sins and there is no sin left in you, so you don't need to know him after the flesh anymore. Now you are looking for him to come again to glorify you. You're not even supposed to know one another after the flesh. Because if you keep dealing with each other after the flesh, you also deny the work of Jesus in you. Do you hear faith now? You hear faith? Do you hear the power of faith and how we're supposed to walk? You hear it? You hear it? You hear the faith in that? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. When Jesus came, he was not the Christ. Matthew said he was what?
Called.
He had to make his calling and his election what?
Sure.
Now, can you tell me how did he do it? Can you tell me how he did it? What death did he die? What death did he die? What death did Jesus die?
I want to say Christ, when he died in the barn, he manifested the death.
What death? If he's called the Christ, what does he have to do to be the Christ? Die how? What? If I let you get away with these answers, the enemy gonna tempt you. Oh Lord, no. Jesus. I command the tempter to step back. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I'm back.
I'm trying to hear.
What was that? Tell me.
What death did he die? You say what death?
Yeah, explain. Because if you don't have enough knowledge, the enemy gonna shake you. The one thing that the enemy told New Jerusalem, you don't have to know all that. He was lying to you so he could always shake you. But you'll go to school and get ropes hanging around your neck, walk across the stage, tilt your tassel to make more money, because that's all you're going to make. I don't have no problem with it. But when it comes to the church and the gospel, I don't need to know all that. You got to be kidding. Your soul is at stake here.
Yes.
Your soul is at stake. You mean you don't need to know your knowledge for the salvation of your soul? The tempter will take you if you don't have excellent knowledge. Paul knew he did not have excellent knowledge when he was Saul of Tarsus. He said, I don't have it. I count it dung that I might win Christ. He wanted to win Christ. We have to win him too by counting our knowledge what? If you don't count your knowledge dung, you're not going to win him. And then we talked a long time about the what? Excellency of knowledge. I got to, you got to. Church, the enemy will mess with you in any area your knowledge is not excellent. I tell you the truth. Any area that's gray when it comes to knowledge, he's going to mess with you right there. Because there's darkness there. And he made you believe that you didn't have to learn everything I was teaching. You don't have to know all that. And he gave you a fit. And I know he did. Because what I know destroyed him. And before I knew it, he persecuted me. Do you hear me? The enemy gonna persecute you when you don't know the truth. He's gonna do it. You want to know the truth so you can live. You got to know the truth. You got to know it. It will do what? Is it make you free? Which one is it? Is it set or make? I don't know which one it is. It's both ways. Thank you for the enlightenment. And if it's God that has made us, how did he make you? With truth. If the truth's going to make me free, then he must have made me with truth. When you were born again, you were born with what? Truth. Is there a lie in you? No, because when he looks at you, who does he see? My God. And who should you see in you? And travail causes who to be formed in you? Who do you see in you? Because you ought to see in you who he sees in you. Then the scriptures come off the pages. I can do all things through Christ. That what? Because where is your strength coming from? Because you are in him. You feel his strength. And when you start feeling his strength, you don't want human strength no more because it failed you. The strength of humans cannot endure in this world. People shipwreck concerning the faith because they don't have the strength to endure. That strength has to come from the Lord. And he's given it unto us. He's given it to us. So I say, God, you see Jesus. For those that need the first coming, you can't tell them they don't need to know him after the flesh. They do, because they ain't dealt with their what?
Sins.
But for us, do you think you're supposed to spend your lifetime dealing with sin? Come on. If you spend your lifetime dealing with sin, when you gonna receive the salvation and the glory? When? Those people received the glory of God and was changed. I don't believe everybody died the way it's recorded that some of them did. I don't believe that. I believe some of them were like Enoch, kept on walking because faith had been complete. And didn't the scripture say that the Lord showed them they had to do what? Lay it down. Who showed them? You mean they weren't going to let it go until who told them? Wait a minute. Do you hear what you're telling me? That even though their body could bleed, it wasn't going nowhere until the Lord showed them, because it was so much God in them. It was so much God in those men, death couldn't touch them. The blood was so in them that the death angel had to pass over them when the blood showed up. Because of one man's sin passed on to what? Well, because of the death of one man, didn't righteousness pass over the whole world? Why are we struggling with the righteousness of God by faith? And it's not of works. You must believe. And when your trial come, don't you shake. Hold fast to that which is good. It's something good in you. He put it there. It came down from heaven. He put it in us. And though he put it there, I still take responsibility for being born in sin and shaped in iniquity and keep under my body. I'm under it. I ain't on top of it. I'm under it, bringing it into the, because it's stubborn. It's some spirits in it that don't want to bow down, so I bring it. Bowing down to the power of the Holy Ghost that's in you, you bring it down. Why? I believe in that work. He did it and left the path. He left the way. So I don't care what we've been through, where sin abounds. Christ, are you sure? Are you really sure? Are you really sure? I'm pretty bold right about now. I guess you know, don't you? What if somebody took their life? Is there forgiveness for that? What if somebody just took their life? Is there forgiveness for that? What thinking? She wants to talk to me. We got a dialogue going.
I was always told in the church, no. Like, you can't be.
Anybody heard what she heard?
Yes.
Anybody agree? I mean, believe what she had heard?
Yes.
Did we? That if you took your life, it was what?
I believed it. You can't be forgiven. How can you ask for forgiveness if you unalived yourself?
Now, I want to make that knowledge excellent. You're going to watch how I do it? Because that knowledge has a lot of flaws in it. And it is not perfect. So I have to purge that knowledge and make it perfect. Watch how I do it. First of all, you can't take your life because Adam sold it. You didn't come here with life. You came here with death. So how can you take it? One man brought death on all. So what did you take? It couldn't have been your soul. And your spirit was born in sin, shaped in iniquity with the mark of a beast on it. What did you take? soul, your spirit, and your soul was taken from you before you got here. So if it was taken from me before I got here and the Lord brought redemption to it, he's waiting for me to come back home. Now, the other part, I took my body. Now I have to give an account of the deeds done in my body. Why did I do that to such an innocent vessel that did not have a choice? Because a spirit was in my house that was a murderer. So what's the difference in you taking another body and taking your own?
I said it's the same.
Because our bodies are all made alike, male and female. The body has suffered tremendously because of the spirits that are in us. So I guess when Jesus died, I went to preach to the spirits like we read in Peter. I guess there were some spirits down there that had taken their life, their body, huh? Is that true? I'm pretty sure we ain't the first. I'm pretty sure that when he preached to those spirits, somebody down there had taken their life. I wonder if Judas could have been near. Because he hung himself. Because he came up with a righteousness to justify betraying the Lord. And after you betray him, you cannot come up with a righteousness that God is going to hear. He's looking at who?
Jesus.
Thank you. I want that ingrained in you. He's looking at Jesus. Judas, you can't do nothing to fix that. Because I chose 12 and I knew one of you were a devil. And now you're going to make it right. You know how you do things to try to make it right after you done sin? Thank you for a witness. And you think God's going to accept that, don't you? And the only thing he asked you to do was what? One word. Say it again.
Repent.
Say it loud, church.
Repent.
Oh, now y'all say it like I know you're talking about.
Repent.
It works. Tell yourself it works.
It works.
Because I got an advocate. I got one. I got one. I ain't going to never deny him. I got one. Where sin abound, talk to me. What is it sin can do that grace can't cover? Tell me. Well, maybe in this new age time and all this perverseness that's going on and everybody want to practice everybody else's nature that doesn't belong to them. What do you think about them? They're going to pay for what's done in the body. But when they, what it's going to be found out is when they lose their body, they're going to find out that the nature God gave them is still theirs. You can play with clay.
Yeah.
I used to play with when I was a kid. Put a little water with it. You can shape it up anything you want. You can play with clay. But you can't play with what God. So all these appetites, they're lying wonders that they come because they want your body to be reshaped. And then when your flesh dies, because that's what Paul said, turn them over for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Don't you know everybody that deals like that, their flesh is going to die? It's going to die. Let me freely speak to you. Didn't they kill them people because of Jesus. Didn't the Pharisees and the scribes turn him over?
Yes.
Because he said, before Abraham was, I am. Didn't they get mad?
Yes.
Didn't the Jews say, we be not born in fornication?
Yes.
Who do you think you are? They preached Jesus. They didn't preach nothing else but Jesus. Look at the church today. Now I'm going to preach this. I'm going to preach this wherever I go. And I am going. I'm going to preach this. I won't win everybody, but those that he have chosen and called are coming. Through much persecution. But for his sake. Do you know love can't measure suffering? Can I talk to you women for a moment? You can endure something and go through something and keep going through and keep going through and keep going through it. Tell me why. Because you love. Love suffers long. The only problem is our love got some hate in it, don't it? That's our problem. But when your love is perfect and pure and has no hate in it, it's impossible for it not to bring redemption. It's impossible. It's the greatest. There's nothing greater than love. No.
Amen.
Nothing. Because it can't fail. But they die. But don't worry, Jesus is going to hell, get them. Love going to go to hell. Love going to the grave where spirits are. Love going to meet death where they don't even have a body anymore. And command them to be clothed in righteousness. Love is so great that those that have fallen asleep, he's going to bring back with him. So we all get changed at the same time, Vera. Lord, I will exalt you. I've never understood you like that. Nor have I ever seen you like that. No. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship. One with... Why can't we fellowship with one another? Somebody is not walking what? And why don't someone sit down and realize and examine themselves, am I walking in the light? Because if we walking in the light, we should have fellowship. And if we can't fellowship, it's because somebody's not walking in light. He has chosen us. And it's no goodness of our own. No one has a right to exalt themselves.
No, yes, Jesus.
Because nothing we got, he wanted. He cleansed us from what he had.
Yeah.
We had nothing but a death sentence on us. And he paid that off and settled it.
Yes.
And then turned around and said, Leo, yeah. I want you back in the garden. I want you in the garden. Church. The the miracles and signs that the Lord will do in this hour you have never seen. Because souls going to be added to the church. You see how it was, you see, did we work that perfectly? Did that knowledge kind of come together? Did everybody hear the knowledge coming together? Go ahead, let me hear you. This is going to be it for tonight. Go ahead.
Yes. So, because I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
Go ahead, you're good.
So because death came in through Adam, what we call life isn't really life. So when someone commits suicide, they're not taking their life because they didn't have life.
Good.
Okay. Okay. So they just took themselves further into a death.
Because they have taken a innocent vessel. And the vessel didn't have a choice in the matter. They took the life out of their body. Oh God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. God. I'll give you two examples. Perfect. Two. When Israel murmured and complained and said, "You brought us out here to die," right? They got bolder than that. They said, "You brought us out here so our children can die." What did he say? He said, "Out of your mouth, I'll judge you. Your children will make it and you won't." You mean, why didn't God just and let them all fall dead immediately? He let the body live out the lie until the soul was dead. He let their body live that until the soul was dead and it couldn't breathe no more. And two men spoke the truth when they spied out the land. He sustained them and made their life stand still while everybody else kept aging until their body was not going to make it any longer. When he took the spirit from King Saul, did his body fall dead?
No.
He let his flesh live out his days and that last battle. Samuel said, "Today you're going to be with me." Why didn't God take his body and choke? He's God. Why does he let that body just live out that iniquity like that? Because the body is not the real problem. It's what's in us. Jonathan, I love this one. Where was Jonathan's soul? Knitted to who? What happened to Jonathan's flesh? How? Where? Talking to Mike.
He died in battle with his father.
You mean his soul is with David and his flesh is with his father?
Mm-hmm.
And his flesh can't have the inheritance of the soul and his flesh dies with his father? Why do you let your flesh die with your father when the Lord has your soul?
Jesus.
Why not possess your vessel in sanctification and allow your flesh to be given to the Lord? Jonathan, you and David's soul, But you took your flesh and gave it to your father who was going to die. Why do you die with your flesh when you can live with your soul by the work of Christ Jesus? All souls are mine. We have suffered tremendously, and only by the grace of God we are still here. No other reason. No other reason. He had mercy on whom he will. You don't get a choice to say who he has mercy on because you didn't pay the price. He can say it because he paid the price. And for us, we should be grateful and thankful that he has loved us and called us. And it ain't a light thing. It's to show forth the glory and the praises of him that called us out of darkness. Do you not know? Years ago was the first time I ever heard it. Pastor and I was in US1. So someone came in the office on US1. This is the first time I ever heard it. And passing out. And their spirit, I would say now, their soul spoke to her and said, let me in your house. Let me in your house. Because of what was going on in the person's life, the soul did not want to die like that. It wanted to be preserved somewhere else. You can be conscious of your flesh and not even be conscious of your soul. You can satisfy the appetites of your flesh and don't know your soul is thirsty and not even know it. Recently, after all those years, something happened to me. And I embraced this verse. And I realized how thirsty their soul was. And it wanted to embrace me that it might have a drink. That it might live and not die. And they have no idea. Because when you are conscious of your flesh, you are not conscious of your soul. David and Jonathan's souls are knitted. Our relationships, now I'm touching your skin. Can I touch your skin while I'm talking? Or you want me to stop? Every relationship in your skin suffers because you don't understand the relationship of the soul that God made and how it should be joined together in the Lord. That's why your skin and your relationships in your skin suffer. And it's always going to suffer until you understand the relationship of the soul, which is what God has, not going to. What God, help me say it. Join together. You think our soul isn't knitted together? That liar, that serpent, the subtlety of that beast, our soul is united in Christ Jesus and oneness. Until you come into the excellent knowledge, you're not going to know what a relationship is. and you can seek it all the days of your life in your flesh, you will have nothing but pain and sorrow. Relationship is with what God joined together. And when your conscience serves you, you can love someone so and be at peace, even if their flesh is crazy, because you know they ain't even conscious of their own soul. Suffering is not for the flesh. Though why did Paul say turn them over for the destruction of the flesh? You need to purify your knowledge in your suffering. Purify your knowledge in your relationship. Suffering has to do with the salvation of our soul. If you suffer and receive the suffering, it must be about the soul and not the flesh. You can't suffer enough for flesh to be saved, but you can suffer for a soul to be saved. Now that almost made me jump. Touch the ceiling. We have heard from the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying the place. Thank you. I love coming to church. I don't hear like this at home. I pray at home. But when I come in the midst of the body of Christ, I can minister to the body. Because I feel it. I love coming to church. I don't know if it's old school. I just love coming to church because I know who's here when I get here. The Lord is here. So much. I hear so much when I come here. That I don't hear at home. Why shouldn't I love to come here? This is where I hear. Elijah went to Mount Carmel. I don't know what we're going to call him. Turn it over with your partners. Amen. Take a breather. Take a moment. Breathe. Rest. Amen. Just take a moment. This is a lot. Thanks for all your love your live stream listeners. Thank you.